Bibles this morning into Psalm number 37. Psalm number 37. And then we'll switch over to Proverbs chapter 18. If you found Psalm 37, would you stand with us as we reverence and we honor the reading of God's Word together if you're able? The Bible says, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept, and we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" Now turn over, if you would, into Proverbs chapter number 18. And in verse number 14, Proverbs 18:14, the Bible says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?" Brother Jim Cato, would you take us? You may be seated. We look around the world and we see people that are like the Jews, as they were carried away captive into Babylon, and as they were asked to just sing and just to be happy and just to uplift themselves and to let these folks know what's going on, and they just didn't have it in them to sing that song. They just didn't have it in them to rejoice in a strange land. They were hurting. They were struggling spiritually because they had been separated from what they had known all their lives and what many had only heard about. And they were hurting and struggling and fighting within themselves because of the turmoil that was going on the inside. In Proverbs it says, "A wounded spirit who can bear?" When you're cast down and when you're low in spirit, it's hard for anyone to do anything that can help you and that can lift you up. It's hard to contend with the situations that you're dealing with and the things that you're going through. But friend, let me tell you, there's hope and there's help in Jesus this morning. Amen. In the first part of Proverbs 18 and 14, it says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity." I'm glad that God has given us the ability within ourselves to sustain ourselves and to be encouraged in ourselves and to find help that can get us through the problems in life that we face. He gives us that. And he told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and 7, he said, "God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." I'm glad that God gives us what we need when we need it. And in a foreign land in which we dwell, and in trying circumstances that can get us down and get us discouraged, praise God, His Spirit within us enables us to overcome what the devil wants to do in our lives, and that's beat us down. Amen. He's not given me the spirit and the power and the desire to fear, but He's given me the spirit of power and of a sound mind. We face all kinds of battles in life, and we face spiritual battles every day. Anyone here that doesn't have to battle the devil in your flesh every day? Amen. But praise God, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And we have the power in our spirit to sustain us in our spiritual infirmities. We have the power within us to sustain us in our emotional infirmities and our emotional trials of life. And God speaks to our heart. And when we're feeling low and we're feeling down, and we begin to sing one of those old songs that remind us about how good God is and how much He loved us, don't it change your outlook? Don't it change your spirit? You see, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. And praise God, a sound mind realizes where the help comes from and will call upon Him in their time of trouble and will find out that in their infirmities, God, through His Spirit, dwelling within our spirit and in our heart and in our life, will help us in our time of need. He's there in our physical infirmities and our physical needs. I remember Tanya going through this battle with cancer, and she was confident. And I know there were times, no doubt, she was fearful, but she was confident in knowing that God was going to be with her, and God was going to help her, and God was going to give her what she needed when she needed it. And praise God, He did. She's a testimony unto the fact that our spirit will sustain us in our infirmities. He was up last night visiting with Mark and Doreen Matthews. And Mark, as he was going into surgery about 10 days ago, he looked at Doreen and he said, "Don't worry about a thing. I'm not worried." He said, "I'm at peace." They were taking him into surgery and were going to do a bypass and replace a heart valve. And this a young man in mid-40s, and he said, "I'm not worried about a thing." He said, "I know Jesus as my Savior, and whether I get up off of this bed of affliction or whether God takes me home, I'm still a winner. I'm still at peace. I still got joy." Praise God. He's given us the power in our spirit to help us to overcome our infirmities. But a wounded spirit, a wounded soul, a wounded individual, who can bear? We struggle, we agonize, and we wonder, is there any help? When Satan attacks, and let me tell you what, he'll attack you. He'll be right on you. Amen. He'll be right on you before you realize what's happened. He wants to destroy you. The Bible says in John 10:10, "For the thief cometh but to steal and destroy." Satan attacks. Satan will be there waiting to devour you. Young people, listen to me. Some of you are getting ready to graduate and go off to college, and some of you wanting to go to some foreign place to go to college. I can't understand that. We need you close. Amen. Where we can keep an eye on you. Some are going to a foreign land. And let me tell you what, you're going to be in the midst of the biggest bunch of heathens, the biggest bunch of destroyers of lives that you've ever been around in your life. Zach, he's leaving in a few weeks for boot camp. He's going in the Navy. And Satan wants to destroy you, kids. He wants to destroy your hope. He wants to destroy your testimony. He wants to destroy who you are in Christ. He don't want to just steal your joy. He wants to destroy you. We got moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas that are doing things that they never thought they would be doing at this stage in their life. And Satan's coming by. And Satan's trying to destroy your life. He's trying to destroy your heart. I did call him Zach. You're right. I'm looking right at Tyler and called him Zach because I'm thinking he's going right there where Zach already is. Amen. I apologize, Tyler. I know better than that. But I had you on my heart and Zach too, because she's going to see Zach. And he's in around that same bunch of reprobates that you're going to go find. Amen. And the devil wants to destroy you. Yep. Moms and dads who tried to raise their kids in church and their kids are in the world, and the devil comes by and the devil tries to convince you that you just wasted your time. You wasted their lives. They could have done so much more, been so much more, went to so many other great places. He don't want to just steal your joy. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your testimony. A wounded spirit, who can bear? When the devil comes by, we allow ourselves to fall, and we have a tendency in America today to not be accountable for anything that we do in and of ourselves. It's somebody else's fault. Amen. Your kids are on drugs, it's somebody else's fault. No, it's your kids' fault. Amen. You're on drugs, it's somebody else's fault. No, it's your fault. Amen. It's like everybody else is to blame for the decisions that I've chose to make in my own life. Last Sunday night we was preaching about faith, and we was preaching about that. We brought up that picture of sin. You know, right in the middle of sin is what? Right in the middle of faith is what? We have the choice to make a decision what I is going to do. Amen. We're going to sin, or we're going to have our faith and trust placed in God and make a decision to follow Him. You see, sin comes into our life and it destroys our spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father. You say, well, I know I'm saved and I'm saved for eternity. I'd rather be saved and have the joy of salvation in my heart. I didn't to be saved and to live in this life, this low land of sin and sorrow. I'm miserable knowing that if I die today, I'm going to face the Lord Jesus with disobedience and sin in my heart and my life, and have to give an account to it to Him face to face, then have it placed under the blood to be cast into the sea of forgetfulness, removed as far as the east is from the west, and to be remembered no more. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. The psalmist knew the pain of sin. He knew how it hurt. And in Psalm 38, he says, "For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are going over mine head, and as an heavy burden, they're too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I'm troubled. I'm bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. A wounded spirit, who can bear?" Let me tell you something, friends. We don't have to go around mourning all the day long. We don't have to suffer in our sins. He's told us if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I sin, and God, and yes, I do sin. I sin every day. There's not a day that I don't sin. Amen. How about you? Amen. Amen. When I sin, God brings conviction to my heart. Amen. And when He brings conviction to my heart, I have found out that it's a whole lot easier and a whole lot more joyous. I didn't ask the Lord's forgiveness right then and not let it spread like a cancer, not let it go on and not let it grow, not to sit around to where I go mourning all the day long, but get it under the blood of Jesus, get it taken care of, and experience the joy in serving Him. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? Man, you get around a Christian, you get around an individual that's got sin in their life, and they can try to put on a joyous face, but there's something about it that just don't seem right, because it's not right. You know why? Sin don't belong into the heart of a child of God. He said, the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, praise God, when I'm right with God and everything's going good. I have great joy, great peace, great assurance. I can face anything that's before me. But when sin is in my life, the old devil comes along and tries to use it to destroy, use it to assassinate and to kill. Amen. Use it to steal away everything that he can. And you know what he does? He gets away with it. Amen. A wounded spirit, who can bear? People say things. And they hurt people. And they, I mean, there are preachers that preach that are just absolutely mean-spirited in their preaching. Amen. I preach some hard messages. And I preach the truth. And I preach them sometimes in an angry manner. Because God, whom I serve, see sin for what it is. And we preach it that way, but some preach just to hurt people. Some preach just to do things to tear down people. So some preach just because they think they're better than everybody else and they want to destroy everybody else. Some people say things and they intend to hurt people just because of the nature that they have. There's some people you can deal with, some people you can be around, and I don't care what's going on, I don't care what's happening. They got to rain on your parade somehow, and they got to try to bring you down. They got to try to destroy your happiness. They try to destroy your peace. They try to destroy your joy. Amen. There are Christians who look down their nose at everybody else and want to tell everybody else about what horrible sinners they are, and they would need to really to go look in the mirror and see their own lives and see where they're at that moment in life and quit worrying about everybody else and start worrying about themselves. Amen. Man, people have told me stories of things that people have said to them in church, and you wouldn't believe some of the things that have been said. You wouldn't believe some of the things that have been done. You wouldn't believe that some of the things that some good Christian people say in the name of Christ. And they hurt people. And they destroy people. And they bring people down and they bring people low. And people get wounded in their spirit. And not everybody is maybe as strong as you are. Not everybody is as thick-skinned as you are. And in this world we live in today, we know that you can offend everybody. So easy. Just talking. I probably offended a whole bunch of you already this morning. Amen. I'm not politically correct and never will be. I'll be biblically correct. Amen. And if that offends you, praise God, you need to deal with God. Amen. But our desire should be to lift people up. Our desire should be to build people up, but people were hurt. People have quit coming to churches. And people have quit coming to church because of things that people have said. Things that preachers preach. Man, we was talking to some folks and they told us that, man, they come out of one of these old hard-knock churches and the pastor told the parents, you need to whip your children every day because you know they've done things that you didn't know about and they were spanked. They got a whipping every day simply because the pastor told them they needed to go home and whip their children every day and they despise church. They reject church and they don't want anything to do with coming back to church because that's the kind of nonsense that has been preached. How we have seen people take the word of God and twist the word of God and use it to promote their own twisted theology and are hurting people, and people are dying and going to hell because of words that have been spoken and spirits that have been destroyed. Amen. A wounded spirit, who can bear? You know how hard it is to talk to somebody and to try to get somebody to come to church and to witness to somebody who's been hurt by people in church? I don't know how many of you have seen something I've posted on Facebook here this week, but you know, the greatest detriment to new Christians isn't the world. It isn't the things in the world. I don't know just exactly how it said, but I liked it and it was the truth. But the greatest hurt and the greatest detriment to newborn Christians is lukewarm Christians in the house of God. And I think you could go on to say one thing further in the things that some Christians have said to them. Down a few verses in verse number 21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. We have the ability to use our tongue to uplift God and to draw people unto Him. And we have the ability to stand in God's place and ridicule and criticize people and draw them, or drive them, away from a relationship with Jesus. Some hurt for a lifetime. Some will never darken the door of the house of God because they've been wounded in spirit and they can find no healing from what they perceive to be the place where they were wounded. Sometimes the devil comes our way and he brings people and situations, incidents into our life. Brother Craig Edwards preached a message over Brother Steve's. I was telling folks this morning, the devil wants you to be happy. He wants you to be happy. And he will tell you that sex will make you happy. Many lives are destroyed. Many spirits are brought low. You say, I can't believe that, Pastor. Well, let's see what the Word of God says. 1 Corinthians 6:18. For he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. It might seem good, it might feel good, it might sound good. But when it's all done, you know it's not right. It will haunt you for the rest of your life. It will haunt you forever. Sexual indiscretion is a wound against your own body. It's a wound against your own being. And we're not just talking to teenagers here. I'm talking to all. I'm preaching to all of you. Amen. We choose to do things. We make decisions to do things. And it's a wound to our body. In Proverbs 6:23, it says, he that committeth adultery wounds his own soul. You don't just destroy someone else's life when you commit adultery, when you cheat on them. You wound your own soul. You know in your heart and you know for the rest of your life that you've been unfaithful forever. You don't believe that? Read Psalm 51. That's a psalm of a man by the name of David, who committed adultery and committed murder by proxy. He put out a hit on a man whose wife he had cheated with and thought that everything was going to be all right, thought that everything would be okay. But he found out that he wounded his own soul. And in Psalm 51, he says, my sin is ever before me. And he reminds himself and he states that he knows that the sin that he committed wasn't against Uriah. It wasn't against Bathsheba. It wasn't merely against his own self. But he said unto God, he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. before his Redeemer, before his Savior, before his Lord and his God. He stood convinced and convicted that he had sinned. And he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." A wounded spirit, who can bear? Even David, a man after God's own heart, was unable to bear the wound against his own soul, his own spirit, his own life, that he afflicted himself with, himself. And now he's praying unto God, take away this wound. Take away this hurt. Take away this reproach. It's ever before me. A wounded spirit, who can bear? You might think you're man enough. You might think you're woman enough to carry it and to deal with it. But I guarantee you, you're not. You might hide it and you might keep it hid, but it's ever before you. You might say, well, it's never going to affect anybody because nobody else knows about it. God knows about it. Amen. David thought he had it all covered up. But he sent the prophet to see him. And the prophet told him the story about the little ewe lamb. David said, that man is going to repay and he needs to die. And that old man of God pointed his finger right at David and said, "Thou art the man." You might think you got everybody fooled, but you don't fool God. God already knows. And God's convicting spirit is pointing his finger and he's saying unto you, "Thou art the man." We have others that act against us. Others that do things that bring hurt into our lives. Young people today, we just hear about sexual abuse taking place in young lives, and people say, well, it's always been. I don't think it's been as prevalent as it is in this world today, because we've accepted so much and we've allowed so much. We've fooled so much with some of these organizations. I mean, they had one group is the men and boys love association. I forget what the name of it is. It's not Mensa, but it sounds something like Mensa, so I don't want to say it and confuse somebody. But it's an actual group, and they push for legislation. They lobby for it. And you say, well, it's never going to happen, Pastor. Well, I never thought I'd see the day that a man could go into the bathroom with my wife if he wanted to. Amen. I never thought I'd see the day that a man would be able to go into the bathroom with my granddaughter, one of these young ladies in this church, if he wanted to. Amen. It's not too far-fetched, folks. People are hurting, little ones are hurting young people. And their hearts and their souls are destroyed, and we've dealt with this several times, and several incidents and several different people. And I had one young lady tell me one time, said, I went to church and I was there and I was going through this and I was praying and I was asking God to make it stop like everybody said that it would if I prayed to God, and it didn't stop. So tell me why I need to come to church. A wounded spirit, who can bear? Jesus can bring healing. And Jesus is working on that healing. Amen. But folks, you don't realize how hurt people are. These kids, they can come and look at you and they can smile and they can play and they can laugh. And you don't know what's going on in their lives. You don't know what they're dealing with or what they're facing. And people look down their nose. Well, they ought to be made this, and they ought to be made. You need to start just learning to pray for people, because you don't know what people are going through. You don't know what people are dealing with. You don't know what people are facing. Look, we have a people who reject us. Was anybody rejected by someone any more than David before he became king? He tried to do everything right. He was a good soldier. He was a good comforter. He was a good friend. He was a good help. And yet Saul rejected him. Saul tried to kill him time and time again. And some of the psalms that David wrote and penned down come from the time when he wondered why his soul was cast down. He wondered why he was where he was when God had anointed him to be king. And he realized it was because of the rejection of man, a wounded spirit who can bear. Sometimes it's because of betrayal, and the betrayal of close friends, the betrayal of family, the betrayal of a spousal relationship are some of the worst there is. But Jesus said in the last times, Matthew 24:10, he said, but they would be offended in you, and they would betray one another, and they would hate one another. Don't we live in a time when we see betrayal at an all-time record high? Amen. They lie about you. Man, Sister Sherry, I told you, I've been lied about. I had a preacher stand right in the pulpit and tell a barefaced lie about me and my wife in a Baptist church. A barefaced, bold lie. And that hurt. I wasn't there when it happened. When I heard about it, it's a couple years later that I heard about it. It hurt. She tell you, I said, I can't believe he said that. Sister Sherry can attest, she was right there. She could tell you. I'm telling you the truth. People will lie about you. They'll falsely accuse you. They'll question your motives and your reason. Moses faced that with his own brother and his own sister. Moses faced that with Korah and Dathan and Abiram. When they challenge you, you take too much upon you. You're trying to make yourself something that you're not. They'll label you, and they'll falsely accuse you, and they'll say things to you, and it will hurt you. Kind of reminds me of the story about the man that used to go someplace, and he couldn't find a parking place right by, so he parked his truck out in front of this house of a particular widow woman that went to their church. And he would go on about his business. Some of you have heard this. And there's an old gossip in the church, got going around gossiping. And folks, gossiping has never come to any good. Old Biddy in the church is a big gossip. And run around telling everybody that he was going and spending the night at this widow's house. Well, the word finally got back to him on what was happening and what she was saying and what gossip was telling lies about them and falsely accusing him and this innocent one, both of them innocent as could be. So you know what he did? He started parking his truck in front of her house. Amen. Amen. See how foolish it is to listen to gossip. See how foolish it is to gossip. Many a hurt, many a soul, many a life has been destroyed because of words that were spoken in gossip. Words that were spoken and falsely accused people. A wounded spirit, who can bear? Sometimes death touches a loved one, touches our lives. And people get mad at God. And they never get over the death of a loved one. They never get over the death of someone that was close to them. You know, Deb's cousin Brenda died a few weeks ago. 53 years old. She died in the night. I've told several people she died of a broken heart. I don't believe she ever got over her father's death. A wounded spirit, who can bear? People criticize people when they struggle with it. She knew her dad's in heaven. But she still struggled with that loss. She knew where her mom and dad are. She knew she was going to go see them one day, but she still struggled with that separation. Folks, don't ridicule people. Don't put them down. Pray for people. Pray for a wounded spirit. Who can bear? But our spirit has the power to help us in our infirmities. Sometimes we have trouble forgiving. We have trouble forgiving. We don't forgive so that we say that we accept and we just overlook what someone has done. We forgive so that we can move on. Because as long as we keep not forgiving, our spirit is wounded. Our spirit is hurting. Our spirit is in trouble. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, get a song.